Time for our Wednesday morning conversation. First one of the season with Ted Foley from Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products, and so much more. And Ted, welcome back to the studio, and I hope you had a good winter.
Thank you, Jeff. We had a great winter.
Yeah, it was a different winter.
It was. It was strange, like everybody knows.
Yeah.
Strange for work and strange for trees. And it was different.
So with that in mind, what was it like working through this winter? I would assume that you may not have had to lay off as many folks, people working through the whole winter time. I mean, the weather sure cooperated.
Yeah, the weather cooperated. Almost, honestly, it was the opposite effect for us as far as we had to lay off guys even sooner.
Really?
For the reason being, you know, it's always a fine line. You're always, you know, all season long, all the summer long, our peak season, May 1st to November 15th-ish. You know, our goal is obviously to keep our crews going, but it's also to gain enough workload that when the phones really, really slow down, which is in that beginning of December area, when they really slow down, you still have a couple month backlog where you can keep your crews going and keep everybody going until ideally the beginning of March, which okay. Then you're kind of flirting with road limits getting posted anyway. And yeah. No matter what, we can't do anything at that point in time. I mean, we can do some city work, but we can't do a lot of work. So we can't keep everybody going. Well, what happened this year, it was, you know, usually you get into snow conditions, and snow conditions just slow us down. Snow and cold. I mean, like, getting out of the shop in the morning takes longer.
Yeah.
You get to a job site, you need to move snow banks. You're going through 2 feet of snow. It just, the whole operation slows down by 20-30%.
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden, you don't have that. So what happens? We just cranked through our workload.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, you're getting at the end of January, and we're sitting there saying, holy smokes, like, we don't have a lot of work left. Just because we were able to be so efficient. And, I mean, it's great. It's good for the company. But then we kind of had to figure some things out as far as, okay, what are we going to do here? You know, are we going to lay a couple guys off for 2 to 3 weeks, then bring them back? And kind of we had to juggle some things around a little bit to try to keep people working as long as possible.
I think it's time to open up a central Wisconsin location of Foley's Tree Service.
Yeah.
we need you, Ted. We need you.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of work out there. And you know, we do travel around a lot. You know, we have 20-some guys in Appleton right now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and because we can't, you know, road limits are on, and yes, they came off partially this week, but it's just so wet and soggy out there.
Yeah, it is.
That we were able to win on a really nice bid for the city of Appleton. They got a hold of us. They knew that we were doing some city work for Green Bay Ashwaubenon last year, and they got a hold of us and said, hey, we've got, you know, 1,000 to 1,100 ash trees to remove, street trees. They're all dying from emerald ash borer. And they were hoping that we'd be willing to bid on it, which we were, because it was going to be during road limits. And that's, you know, I don't want to do a project like that.
That far away.
That yeah. far away in our peak season. You
right.
know, the last thing I want to do is say, hey, client, yes, you know, we can do this work, but it's going to be 2 months because we have this other stuff out of the area to do. So it's a great opportunity for us to get guys back to work sooner when road limits were on, and get them to Appleton and remove a bunch of ash trees there. So, you know, we're moving around, doing what we can do, and ideally next week things are going to dry out a little bit more, and Oneida County should be coming off. Some Oneida County towns are coming off for sure. And then we should be able to get in full swing here.
Good deal, because full swing, you guys get very, very busy very, very soon. So what we want to do is kind of preface the rest of the conversation that if you're going to like what you hear here over the next 20 minutes or so, you're going to want to call Ted at Foley's Tree Service soon, because they book up fast. And I would assume that this year is going to be the same as always, right?
Yeah, it will be. You know, we're fortunate. We run 8 to 10 crews. So, you know, it's not like, you know, we have one or two crews that it doesn't take a lot to get them booked. So we're able to be flexible to get on jobs, especially, you know, if there's a contractor coming in after us. And of course, we're almost always the first ones on the project, because
sure.
the trees need to get removed before anything else.
Right.
So, you know, we often, you know, we're that first company that has to come in. So we can be flexible, but definitely, I mean, the sooner to get on the list, the better, because no matter what, there is a wait. And what happened this year with not having snow is people were out in their yards a little bit more, and the phone started ringing in like February. So all of a sudden we do have a larger backlog going into spring than we normally do, just because we were selling a lot of work sooner and we can't get it done because the road limits were on.
We kick off our season usually talking about winter damage, and this year I was prepared. My wife and I, we decided we're done with all this rabbit damage and everything that we've been experiencing over the last couple of years, so we fenced everything in.
Right.
Everything that we wanted to be safe, we fenced in, and well, the rabbits weren't even around all winter because they obviously had other stuff to eat, and,
right,
and they weren't even in our yard, but I'm still glad we did it. So we don't have any damage in our yard to talk about at all for the first time in a long time.
Great.
I'm not, you know, moaning to you about all the damage and what I do about it. So, but there was some damage, and we're going to talk about winter damage. And to me, I thought when we started, before you got here this morning, before I got my notes, I thought we're not going to have a lot to talk about. We talk a lot about winter damage. We barely had winter this year, but we still had damage.
We still had damage. So, like, one of the more uncommon tree damage that we are seeing right now is squirrel damage on maple trees. So, like, certain areas in the Northwoods, especially sugar maple, because the sugar content.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're driving around and you're seeing these younger maple trees or middle-aged maple trees, that the tops, the bark is all stripped off, the limbs, the bark is stripped off. It happened a lot this year where they basically were going in and eating the bark to get those starches and those sugars. It does happen almost every year in a smaller scale, but this year, because we had cold and then warm, and then the trees kind of were saying, oh, hey, what's going on? Let's kind of move some sugars. And then it got cold and it got warm. Kind of the trees were moving some sugars and starches more than they normally would.
And the squirrels weren't sleeping, so they knew it.
Yeah, they were out. They were out in full force saying, wow, look at this. I mean, granted, there was a huge acorn crop last year, but they were loving maples. I just had talked with a client this morning. He said, what is going on with my maple trees? He said, is it a porcupine? No, it's not. It's not porcupine. It's squirrel damage is what it is. And unfortunately, we already have, you know, a handful of maple trees that we have to remove this spring because when they girdle, you know, there's no chance. The trees are not going to make it. So if you're seeing maples that are stripped and wondering what is going on, that's what's going on.
Explain girdling. I know firsthand, and we lost our willow tree from rabbit girdling a couple years ago, but the new one's thriving. It looks fantastic. So what exactly is girdling, and why does it cause the tree's going to die? It might not die first year, but second or third year, probably that's not going to be a tree anymore.
Right. So basically, girdling is when, you know, something, it could be that somebody tied a wire around a tree or a cable, a rope, whatever it may be, or we have our wildlife that eats the bark. And when they eat the bark and they go all the way around pretty much the stem of the tree.
That's the key, all the way around.
Correct.
Yeah.
If they get 20% of the circumference or 30%, the tree likely will be okay. I mean, you could have a little decay get in there, but they'll likely be okay. But when they go all the way around or majority of the way around, that's considered girdling, where then, you know, the tree loses that bark and it loses its, really, its natural process to translocate nutrients and all of that stuff that happens. So you're taking the outer and the inner bark off,
okay,
and then you're down to basically wood, and so you're losing your bark, which is the key, you know, element really for translocation of nutrients within the tree.
Right, and like I said, I noticed I was hoping and praying that we'd keep our willow tree. It was okay the first year after the girdling, then the next year it never came back. It was done.
Yeah, right, exactly, and And sometimes they will last for 1, 2, 3 years, but most of the time it'll be less than that.
Right. So keep that in mind if you're seeing girdling on your maple trees, especially any other kind of winter damage to talk about here and how to fix it now that it's spring.
Yeah. You know what we always often hear of, and this is, you know, just one of those misconceptions. You know, what we get a call in and say, hey, this woodpecker ruined our tree. It's damaging our tree. We need to do something about it before the tree falls over. Well, you know, the woodpecker is an indicator
that there's something wrong already,
that there's something wrong within the tree.
Yeah.
So woodpeckers, they will go and they'll pound holes into a tree and maybe look and see if there's decay in there, or maybe potential nesting or whatever it may be. But most of the time they are getting into decayed wood. So, and they're going after bugs. So when you get several holes, like if you have like one hole in a tree, then it's something to look at. They may have just been kind of exploring.
Sure.
And then they are creating the damage. But most of the time when you see 1, 2, 3, 5 holes within a certain area of the stem or a branch of the tree, now it says, what is going on with that tree that this woodpecker is coming there and drilling holes, trying to find food and maybe possibly trying to look at making a nest. So, you know, the woodpecker is the indicator. It rarely creates the issue. It's actually a good thing that the woodpecker is saying, hey, I'm making it visible here that I'm pounding away and making these holes, and I'm doing that because this tree has decay. Decay is what creates the tree to not have as much strength, and then therefore trees will usually fail at that point at some point in time.
You can't always see all the way up, so there's some telltale signs, and I know one of them is a pile of sawdust at the base of your tree that doesn't belong there. You got issues.
Yeah, generally you do. You know, it's you'll have these big pile of sawdust, almost mulch looking chunks that'll come out, especially with the larger woodpeckers. And yeah, then it's like, okay, what is going on with this tree? We better take a look, especially if it's near a structure, near something on your property, where if the tree were to fail, it could hit something. So if you see, you know, those little shavings, if you see that type of activity, holes within the tree, it might be a good idea to give us a call to assess it and see what's going on. The other thing that woodpeckers are creating that's visible for us to know that this tree is in jeopardy and this tree is having problems, and usually it's already too late, is if you have a lot of bark at the base of the tree. So there's borers that are, you know, within the bark.
You mean loose bark or
loose
or
bark?
Loose bark, okay. So
loose bark on the ground at the base of the tree.
Okay, got it.
So what happens, especially emerald ash borer, is it's becoming more prevalent in our area. You're going to find right now a bunch of bark at the base of the tree. So if that tree is heavier, a little more infestation than maybe some surrounding trees, that tree is likely not going to make it past this year, and it'll be dead. It's called flecking. So
okay.
the woodpeckers are coming in and flecking that bark off to get to the borers that are inside of the tree, of course, for their food source. So if you see bark at the base of the tree on the ground, that usually means there's borers within that tree. The woodpeckers are coming in to feed on them. It's an indicator that tree is definitely on its way out sooner than later, and should be looked at getting removed. The other tree that we often, you know, I got a call on this winter too, is the hemlock. And you'll look at a hemlock in the winter, and all of a sudden it'll have like this really reddish bark to it, and it's because the woodpeckers have come in and flecked off all that outer bark.
Oh yeah.
Now you see that inner red bark.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pile of bark at the base of the tree on the ground, and they're going after the red-headed hemlock borer. So it's just a little borer that has a red head to it, and that borer is again coming in when the tree is really stressed and it's already too late.
Okay.
So if you're seeing a lot of bark at the base of the trees, it's generally because there's an infestation and the woodpeckers are coming in for a food source.
So it's a matter of time. You might as well take care of it now instead of waiting and prolonging the inevitable.
Yeah, and especially certain species of trees. You know, ash is the inevitable. You're not going to do anything about it unless you treat them. You can treat them. We treat hundreds and hundreds of ash trees. So you can treat them and keep them alive. When you look at some of these other species of trees, like the hemlock and the red-headed hemlock borer, red pine, it happens with red pine with one of the engravers that attacks them. You really want to get the tree out of there pretty quickly because there's such a high population going on that if the tree isn't gone, it can then bounce to healthy trees. And now there's such a high population of this borer that it can start putting those trees in decline. And that's what's considered then a pocket decline, where you start having pocket decline of trees, several trees.
So when it comes to tree damage, now this, I'm hearkening back to Monday. Ben the Man for Land Parsons was here, and he's got a forestry background along with his real estate background. We were talking about buying land and what to look for, and he brought up some of these issues that you're talking about right now. If the piece of land's got a whole bunch of ash trees on it, you're going to need to know that they probably won't be here very long unless you do something about it right away. Same thing with oak wilt. That's an issue now, too. So knowing some of these issues going into the land buying process can save you a lot of headaches, too. But I would assume you probably get some calls. People are considering a piece of land. They're saying, you know, the realtor guy, he said we may have some issues on some of these trees before I really sign on the dotted line and decide to buy this piece of property. Hey, Ted, you want to come over and take a look and give me your assessment?
Yeah, and that definitely happens. You know, of course, they have to have approval to do that. But, I was at a property not long ago, and driving down their driveway, a couple lately, actually, almost every tree, 90% of their forest are ash trees. And, you know, still up here, a lot of folks don't know the severity of emerald ash borer. And emerald ash borer spares no ash trees. The only ash tree, which isn't an ash tree, is the mountain ash.
Right.
But it's not actually ash tree, so it's not going to die from emerald ash borer. So, but all your other ash trees are going to die from emerald ash borer. It's going to happen. So it's like you drive into a property and you start seeing all these ash trees on properties, and you just, more than anything, want to make people aware, because number one, mentally, emotionally, you need to prepare that you might lose a ton of trees.
Sure.
You may have a lot of cost involved if it's not a large enough parcel where you may not be able to have it logged. So, you know, you need to kind of, we need to educate as we're going onto these properties that, hey, you have a lot of ash. You don't need to remove them all right now, but just know that this is something you're going to have to deal with here in the next 5 years.
What about with oak wilt? Same kind of situation? Or not quite as bad?
Not as bad. Okay. You know, oak wilt doesn't just happen. It's not like an infestation where every tree is going to get it, or, you know, weak trees, whatever they may be. Oak also have two-line chestnut borer that attack them when they're stressed from droughts. We'll see a little decline from that. You know, if the gypsy moth, sponge moth, they changed the name.
Right, yeah.
If the sponge moth comes in and defoliates a lot, we may see two-line chestnut borer on our oak trees. You know, that's one thing. The oak wilt, you basically have to have exposed sapwood in order for a tree to get oak wilt disease. Okay? That's where it starts.
Okay.
So we prune the tree at the wrong time of the year because we're unaware of it. We don't seal that pruning cut off right away. We nick it with a lawnmower or a bumper on a car. Or we just have a storm come through and break a branch off. That is where you expose that sapwood. There's a beetle that goes and feeds on that sap that was just on a nearby oak wilt tree a mile or 2 miles away, and it transfers that spore to the tree. So, you know, ash is like, any ash in sight's just going to be dead. Oak, it's, you're going to get pockets. Okay. You know, it's going to spread and not be good, but it's not like every oak tree is going to die. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have pockets. If you have tracts of land that have a lot of oak on them, you need to be aware of it. You need to be looking up, because the sooner you find it, the sooner you can take measures to try and stop it, because it travels through the root system.
Right. I was just going to say, I've learned through the years it travels through the roots because they're all interconnected, and so it might not, you see it here, but it's connected underneath.
Correct. Got so it. Once one tree gets it because of the beetle, now the adjacent trees can get it, but not because a beetle now attacks that tree. It's because they're all root grafted and they transfer from one tree to the next. So that's where you need to be aware. If you see a tree that randomly is dying, dropping leaves in the middle of the summer, you need to react to that quite quickly if you have adjacent trees, oak trees around, because you want it to stop before it completely spreads through your property.
Got to kind of close things up a little bit here, but first, what's this about no more bundles of firewood?
So we're changing some things in the forest product side of things, and we are going to basically loose firewood sales only moving forward. We have some
stock. What does that mean, loose?
You call and say, hey, I want to come pick up 2 face cords of firewood.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, we can put that in your trailer. Or we do a ton of deliveries where you call and say, hey, I want 5 face cords of firewood delivered to my house. And so we're going to do that, but we're not going to have people on staff that are going to be bundling firewood.
I see. Okay.
Just volume reasons. We have just decided not to continue that route. We have stuff left over this year that we're going to be sending to our campgrounds and, you know, local gas stations as needed.
What about those of us who got a smokeless fire pit for Christmas and have been just waiting for a bundle of Foley's firewood to put in it?
Well, you can still, it just won't have the wrap around it, but you can still get Foley's firewood.
Okay.
It's just not going to have that wrap and that little handle.
So after work, I come out to your place and I throw some in the back of there because I don't have anywhere to store it, so I don't want a big load delivered. And I can still come there and get some just for my own personal use.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's good news.
You can still come there.
Better.
You know, we're still selling quarter face and half face and face cords and all of that stuff. We're just not doing the bundling.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend. I was really hoping to get out in the yard today. That's not going to happen now, but I was really hoping to get out there. And one of the things I need to take a look at is the mulching around my trees, and I think I'm going to have to start adding a little bit more mulch. Mm-hmm. The winds and the lack of snow cover blew a lot of my mulch away, and so what you doing for mulch now?
We have, you know, several different. We will have a lot of cedar from winter projects, so we're going to be having some cedar mulch on hand. We will be having, we have dyed red. All the dye that we use is all eco-friendly.
Okay. You know,
it's all really good stuff. So we have dyed red. We have like a chocolate brown. We have natural brown. I think we have some black left out there. So we just have different mulch. All the mulch comes off of our tree project, so it's all just recycled material from our tree projects.
Mm-hmm. And if you want that chocolate look, please, people, if you have dogs and cats especially, don't put any of those cocoa bean mulch stuff down because your animals will get sick.
I heard something about that. I haven't looked into that yet, though.
Yeah. I looked into it because they had a really good deal at the big box store. I thought I'm going to switch to this. Then I looked into it. I have two dogs. I'm not going to put this in my yard.
Yeah. So it's good. Stay with natural wood fiber.
There you go. And eco dyes. That's important too. Yeah. I got about one more minute, Ted. How are we going to close it up today?
Yeah. If you on the mulch sale side of things, we do deliveries. You can come to our shop and get loaded up into your truck or your trailer, whatever you may want. Besides that, if you are looking to have any tree work done on the year or have any questions, any of these things that we discussed that kind of maybe you thought that you saw that situation on your property, give us a call. We'd be happy to come out, take a look. And all of our sales staff are certified arborists, so we've gone through the training. We had some great training this winter again and some classes to continue our education and to keep learning in our industry.
What you bring into the home show this weekend?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay.
because we have a lot of equipment in Green or in
that's
Apple,
out in the valley, yeah.
But we think we're going to be wrapping up hopefully at the end of the day tomorrow in Green Bay and have most of our equipment back. So time will tell, but we will be there. We'll have a booth. Stop in and say hi.
And you know what? I always wonder about this too, especially at the home show. You and I get into a lot of discussions over the summertime. I'm wondering how many people just want to pick up where we left off and you just take over there at the booth at the home show.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. Michael and I will be there and we'll be chatting with folks and there's questions on stuff. And, you know, a lot of times it's difficult. We get an explanation of what they have going on and we might be able to answer, especially something like these maple.
Right.
Stripped off and have that. But a lot of times it's just like, hey, let's make an appointment. Let's take a look with our eyes and see what is truly going on your property with your trees.
What's the phone number at the office?
715-453-2407.
What's the website?
Foley'sTreeService.com.
We'll see you this weekend, Ted.
Thank you. See you then.
All right. Ted Foley, Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products. And yes, you'll see him at the home show this weekend.